Let us be seated as we pray this morning. Jesus, you are the most beautiful one. And you have the most beautiful name in all of heaven and earth. And Lord, the day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus, you are Lord. Lord, we see this day in our mind's eye. We know the day is coming soon that we will be one with you in glory, that we will see you face to face, and every hurt will be healed and every tear wiped away and every wrong erased there in your presence. We thank you, O God, for the hope we have in you. We thank you that we can live in glorious expectation and in a glorious now of your power and your love and your grace and your might. And so, Father, we come this day to say that we choose you and your ways in our lives. We come this morning to say that we stand boldly and strongly and with confidence on your word. And Lord, we come to pray for big things, to ask you to release your miracles among us. We thank you, O God, for your faithfulness that endures from generation to generation, and your love that never fails. Great are you, Lord. Lord, this morning, it is our joy to pray for Lamont United Methodist Church. We are so thankful for this body of Christ in our community. Father, at this moment, would you pour blessing upon this church and in that community? Father, would you give them encouragement and strength as they sing to you, sing praises to you, as they worship you? Father, give them ears to hear so boldly your word preached this morning. And would you plant it deeply into their hearts? Father, I thank you for their faithfulness to you and for the most wonderful ways they love you and they love one another. Your bride is most beautiful. And Lord, this morning we are most thankful for the gift of your Son, who you sent to dwell among us and to teach us the way. And the way to you is him. And we thank you that you desire a relationship with each one of us. And that as we pray, that relationship is nourished in us. So, Lord, this morning we pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. So I think we have several folks among us who are headed to college or have college students headed to college or are working on an advanced degree. So if you fit any of those categories, will you just slip your hand up like this? You don't have to go real high. Okay. All right. So we've got several here. And I want to offer a special prayer for those who are headed back to college. And next week, we're going to have all of our children and youth and teachers and administrators come forward. We're going to pray over you as we enter into school, because it's going to happen really, really fast, isn't it? So let's bow in prayer for these folks today. God, we're so thankful for those who are pursuing education, for those who will be headed to college or returning to college, for those who are working on advanced degrees. We thank you for teachers and staff and administration in our institutions of higher learning. We thank you for family and friends. We ask that you would go before, Lord, setting a path for them, that they would know your presence, your peace, and your power, especially during stressful times. They would bring great influences of friends their way, that they would connect with a church and a community of faith, that there would be your blessing poured out upon each one. And we ask this favor and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So State Fair is in full swing, isn't it? Have you noticed how our streets are swelled with lots of cars? There are people, animals, and flies converging on our fair city. Oh, yes, the flies. It's so good to be back with you, having been gone about 10 days to Caracol, Haiti. I want to thank you so much for the privilege of being with such beautiful people and seeing the wonderful things God is doing through Strong Tower Orphanage and Church of the Redeemer there in Caracol. We were part of a vacation Bible school that had 430 children plus workers who spent 4 days learning about and experiencing the beautiful grace and love of God. And I will never forget the beautiful people that I met there and the privilege of seeing the Spirit of the living God working in such mighty ways. We have lots to be so thankful for and proud of for all the things that God is doing through Strong Tower Orphanage. And I want to especially express my appreciation to Lori Holt, her team, and the leadership that you all have provided through all these years. Thank you so very much, and help me say thanks to God and to Lori. So here are just a few of the sites we saw while we were there. This is Meredith on your left, and we have Aaron on the right with many, many children, and there is no sense of personal space there, mind you. So kids crowd in to listen and talk and learn and hug, and they did this throughout the week. Liz led us in games, and one rope and as many kids as could get one hand on it provided tons of fun. It wasn't called tug of war, it was called tug of love. Don't you love that? And if you couldn't get a hand on the rope, you just got a hand on another kid and you pulled with all of your might in your direction. It was super fun to watch all their enthusiasm and as they cheered one another, whether their side won or not. And that was truly amazing. This was our alarm clock. He has sounded off faithfully every morning. Yep, he sure did. Every morning beginning at 2:30 or 3 a.m., mind you. So my first morning back stateside, I had a dream about him. Sure did. Need we say more? Oh, the fun of it all. So today, I want us to begin a series on a hymn called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. This was a hymn of the prairie as settlers blazed across the trail in these parts and many parts settling what we have come to know as America. I truly know and believe in my heart that our foremothers and forefathers in the faith here at First Church sang this very song as they established the ministry that we know as First United Methodist Church. And we're going to talk more about that, but first we're going to ask God to bless our time together. Gracious God, as we open the word of life, may it truly become life to us. May it feed and strengthen our souls and nourish your spirit within us. And then may it fill us with your love so it may be poured out in the lives that we will encounter this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, Come Thou Fount is a hymn that was penned in 1758. Anybody remember that year? Okay. And nearly 100 years later, it was sung across the sea in this fledgling country known as America. It was penned by a young man whose name was Robert Robinson at the ripe old age of 22. Now, just to give some context, the average circuit rider lived to the age of 32 years of age. So 22, this guy is middle-aged, okay? He has spent his growing up years in a fire and brimstone type of religious expression that believed that God just could not wait for him to step out of line so God could destroy his sorry soul. Then in a surprising encounter with the people called Methodists, he heard them sing of God's grace and God's love. And moved by the concept of God's grace, not wrath, he penned the song that to this very day has been sung by hearts all over the world. And the first verse goes like this. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Now, did you notice the words grace and mercy? Grace is defined as this. It is getting what we don't deserve. Say it out loud with me. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. In Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty for sin, and all of us have done it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Though we deserve death, we get life through Jesus. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. And we believe as Methodist Christians that there are three practical ways of seeing grace at work. And the first of those is prevenient grace. Like, if you live in Sedalia, Missouri, or Pettis County, you leverage these couple of weeks out of the year knowing that we're going to have lots and lots and lots of people on our streets and in our city, which is a wonderful thing. But you got to just take a deep breath and drive nicer than you ever have all year long during this time, don't you? Or you take the back roads, right? Prevenient grace is the grace that comes before. It's like loving the baby before the baby ever's entered the world. It's preparing a room. It's readying ourselves for these little beautiful bundles of joy and the sleepless nights that's going to come with it. Oh, the joy. Now, justifying grace, on the other hand, is taking that which was wrong and making it right again. And at this point, I would have you clasp your hands together and ask you which thumb do you have on top. And then I'd ask you to change to the other side and tell me what it feels like. And you tell me weird and awkward and crazy and not right. And then I'd say, put the other one back on top. But that's another message for another time. So we're not going to say that or do that today. It's just simply justifying grace is taking that which was wrong and making it right again. And then sanctifying grace is continually walking in the ways of God, like getting it right and keeping on the right path. It's letting the nature of God become more of your own nature. And this perfecting grace means that there's more of God in our life and less of ourselves. Or as others have put it, it's becoming your truest and best self that God made you to be. So we have this understanding that grace is sometimes coming before it is ever needed, or it's putting things wrong and making them right again, and then it's keeping on the path that God has put before us. This is grace. So when Christianity has a theological potluck dinner, this is our go-to dish that we bring to the table. Grace, grace, grace. But Robert also noticed the word mercy, didn't he? And not just a little bit of it, streams of it, never ceasing. And here's the definition of mercy. It's not getting what we deserve. Say it out loud with me. It's not getting what we deserve. If you're speeding down the road a little bit and somebody stops you and they give you a ticket and you appear in court, you don't want justice. You plead for mercy. Not getting what we deserve. Get it? So we have grace and we have mercy, and they are huge. And they both come from God. And I want us to look at this wonderful statement in John chapter 7, verse 38, where Jesus talks about the abundant measure that comes to us when God gives grace and God gives mercy. He says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, read the rest of it with me, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Where do we have a source for grace and mercy? It's the Spirit of God. And not in just a little measure, but in great measure. That's where we receive grace and mercy, from the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like drinking from a fire hose. Wow. So here's one of my little friends that I met at Strong Tower. I've seen her picture for years. Her name is Edwidge. Last night I said she could be the poster child for Strong Tower. I really think she could be the love ambassador for Strong Tower. She wanted to make sure everybody felt included, and she certainly made me feel that way. We were playing jacks, Haitian style, which consisted of a handful of rocks, throwing them on the porch, then picking up one and throwing it in the air and trying to capture one with your hand and then catch the one that came down into your hand. We were to do onesies and twosies and threesies. Can I just say, I never got past the onesies, okay? And dear little Edwidge kept showing me grace, letting me try again, even though I didn't deserve it. It wasn't my turn. And then showing me mercy, because when I messed up and it should have been her turn, she kept pointing at me like, try again, try again. And at that moment, I realized she believed more in me than I believed in me. And now, if that isn't grace and mercy, I really don't know what is. And it was my privilege to preach at the church on Sunday morning. It was packed with people who were filled with joy, songs of praise coming up from the pews, and love from every heart in devotion to our Almighty God. My text was from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. It was the first time in a long time that I worked with an interpreter, and he did an outstanding job just following my quirky ways of preaching, and you know what those look like. So here's what we read from Matthew chapter 13, beginning in the third verse. So he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, but it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. So other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Read verse 9 with me. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This is why we speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, as they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, read the last words with me, and I would heal them. See, first, parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. This means that Jesus will regularly take some life experience and he'll associate it with heavenly things. And he often did not explain it. In fact, someone has said about parables that they are like a joke and they tend to lose their impact if it has to be explained to you. So often he just let it hang. Let them figure it out. But in this instance, so that none of his disciples would lose the point, Jesus explains every part of the parable in the later verses. How the seed on the path is snatched away by the evil one even before it can enter into the heart. Or how the seed in the rocky places hears at once, but it lasts only a short time. Or how the thorns are the cares and the worries of this life, and they choke out God's work in us. But the good soil is the one that hears and understands, and then the seed multiplies over and over and over. But Jesus describes our human condition that prevents the word from being heard and understood and received. And here's how he notes it. He says, we will be ever hearing and never understanding. We will be ever seeing but never perceiving. And we have to ask the question, why? And here's the answer. Because our hearts have become calloused. Make a fist with me if you would. What gets in? Nothing. What gets out? Nothing or little to nothing. Why do we close off our hearts? Fear? Grief? We don't want to be hurt? Again? Selfishness? Busyness? Indifference? We've been burned. Now, someone has noted, what we see and hear consistently in time will enter our hearts. And I think that's true. What we consistently see and hear will in time enter our hearts. And that may be the very reason we have closed them off. The words of your failure, the words of your fear, the words that you tell you when you look yourself in the mirror, but they echo from long time ago telling you that you will never amount to anything. And when you allow those to take precedent in your life, your heart begins to close off. But my friends, that's precisely why we need to be open. And opening ourselves again means we're going to look at life in a different way. When we look to Jesus, we see grace and mercy. And when we look to him, we're on the road to finding healing for our brokenness and our fractured hearts and lives. Now, there's a whole lot of stir in our nation right now and a great vibe about this upcoming eclipse that's going to happen on the 21st of August. Things are going dark a week from this Monday, and it's going to be so cool. But you have to have the right glasses if you're going to watch it, or you're going to seriously injure your eyes and a whole lot more. And maybe that's exactly the point. The filter through which we look determines what we see. Say it to somebody near you. The filter through which we look determines what we will see. So look through faith. When's the last time you looked at it through hope? When you looked at life through love, it leads us to a different outcome than when we look through skepticism or hurt or fear or failure or racism or any of the other isms that plague our lives and our world. All of the destructive powers and filters that are so easy for us to look through if we're not careful. And it couldn't be more important, friends. We've got to look to Jesus first and foremost, always, in all things. So we're getting ready for school to start back, aren't we? We just got another week or so, and then it's happening. And if we look at the potential and the possibilities in our children and in our schools and in our community and in our church, this is going to be an amazing God-filled year. Maybe you've heard the story of the Jewish mother who was asked about the age of her children. And she said, well, the teacher is 3 and the artist is 2. Don't you love that? For good or ill, she was casting a vision for her kids. And we can do the same for our family and our friends and our church and our community and our world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard. No heart has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Same formula Jesus spoke of in Matthew 13, ears, eyes, hearts. What if there is a deeper connection between ears, eyes, and hearts, a deeper connection than we could possibly imagine? And what if we were daring enough to open our hearts to all of God's possibilities? Several years ago, Norman Vincent Peale told a story of a great track coach who was giving some instruction to a young man who pursued the high jump. I love the high jump because my son, who is 6'4" and has a 14.5 size shoe, was a high jumper, believe it or not. That's a lot of body to try to get over that bar. And that was the problem for this kid, too. He was just having trouble getting over the bar. And the coach knew he had it within him. There was just some kind of mental block. And so the coach offered these words of instruction and advice. He said, just throw your heart over the bar and your body will follow. Maybe that's good advice for the people who are faithful followers of Jesus. Just throw your heart in the right direction and the rest of it comes together. Maybe that's the very reason Robert Robinson ends his verse with, teach me some melodious sonnet. Now that's just a fancy way of saying a great song. Sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it. Mount of God's redeeming love. Maybe we have to come up to that higher place where our heart is open again and able to hear with fresh ears and see with fresh eyes in order to experience the healing our hearts so desperately need. And when that healing comes, the blessing of God flows. And friends, that's a song worth singing. So why don't we do that together? Now, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. When our good friends in Haiti close their worship service, they say a resounding amen. And so I invite you to do the same. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our open hearts be pleasing to you, Lord, as you bring your healing, grace, and mercy to us all. In the name of Jesus, we hopefully pray. Amen. Over the next few moments, we'll have some folks up at the front available to pray with you about anything that may be on your heart. I invite you to pray at your seat or here with someone that would love to pray with you. Let's take these moments to connect with God. I'll tell you what a blessing it's been to be with you today. So thankful for each of you, your bright and smiling faces, and the wonderful ways that you serve and love our Savior Jesus. So now go in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of his presence, peace, and power abide with us and sustain us as we throw our hearts over the bar. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a beautiful and wonderful week.